Our next speaker is Noelene McDonald, and she will talk about what soil nitrogen indices and climate variables are needed to predict grass growth under a temperate maritime climate.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. For a start, I want to acknowledge my co-authors on this study, who are Catherine Watson and David Wall. And this study takes place within Europe, it takes place in Ireland, and under a temperate maritime climate conditions. Okay, just to start, to give you an introduction, in Ireland, the nitrogen recommendations in agriculture are based on the needs by the animal or the crop for their growth and development or any product offtake, such as meat or milk or whatever. But what they do not do is they don't account for the variability of the nitrogen that's being supplied from the soil themselves. So there's a risk there then that we could be under or over supplying our nitrogen fertiliser in many of these fields. Now this nitrogen supply is coming from the process of nitrogen mineralisation, which many of you would know about. And you know, there's so many factors that drive this nitrogen mineralisation, and one of those being is the soil's environment. It's soil temperature that will go between 5 to 37 degrees. It's soil moisture content that will be between the permanent melting point and the field capacity. And a combination of these two will give you, you know, your peak mineralization in the soil. And we see this when you have maybe cycles of dry and wet spells. And under a temperate maritime climate in Ireland, we see that soil nitrogen mineralisation will vary then across our growing seasons. And we've seen this in previous studies in Ireland, where we've seen peak mineralisation had a tendency to occur in the spring of the year and mid-April to the end of May, and we had then a kind of a drop-off and a kind of a smaller peak again then in the autumn of the year. And actually, interestingly enough, when I show some results later, this kind of follows the trend in terms of the type of grass growth requirements in Ireland. So as you can see, under our conditions, as I stressed, it is difficult then to predict this temporal soil nitrogen supply and therefore the availability of plant uptake. So this kind of the findings that I'm showing you today is part of a larger project that that I've been part of. And what we found in this project, going back to some of the findings, is that we looked at across about 35 different soil types across Ireland, and we found that there was a large range in potentially mineralisable nitrogen, going from 93 up to 400 milligrams of ammonia per kg. And this recognised that we need more soil-specific nitrogen advice. And when we evaluated numerous soil nitrogen tests, particularly looking at rapid nitrogen tests to account for this mineralisable nitrogen, we found that the ISMT test actually was the best predictor in this study. We followed on then and we carried out a microcosm experiment, and we took 30 of the same different soil types, and what we found, we grew grass in controlled environmental conditions, and what we did was we grew them on the cycles of every 5 weeks, and we took soil sample at the start of 5 weeks, and then we had our grass offtakes. And what we found when we modelled to find out what soil parameters were best explaining the grass yields and nitrogen uptake, a combination of ISMT, total oxidised nitrogen, or nitrate as some of you referred to, and the steep carbon to nitrogen soil ratio actually kind of gave us the best kind of prediction of the grass and uptake or the grass dry matter yields. So we have these findings and we wanted to kind of get a bit more adventurous. We said, right, well, can these soil nitrogen tests predict the nitrogen uptake under field conditions? This is into the unknown. So the experiment's objectives was we're looking at two contrasting sites, and we wanted to examine the temporal variability of these soil nitrogen indices, and we wanted to examine the effectiveness of these soil nitrogen indices along with climatic measure variables to predict daily grass dry matter yields. So our experimental sites. On the left-hand side there you have our well-drained site, which is located in the south of Ireland. It's on a Cambazal sandy loam texture soil. And then the second then is a moderately drained site that is located in the southeast of Ireland, a glade fluvial soil that has a clay loam texture. Now these sites were actually part of the plots that we were studying were part of a larger kind of experiment looking at nitrogen, phosphorus and lime response trials. And we were looking at 8 plots in particular with 2 treatments and 4 replications. And these were all part of the bigger randomised complete block design. And the treatments we were interested in was the control plots, the check plots. And we also looked at the lime plots. So these plots that weren't receiving any nitrogen fertiliser, and the lime plots weren't in this situation as well. So what we did is we soil sampled every 3 weeks, 10 centimetre depths, and we analysed for mineral nitrogen, the potential mineral nitrogen using the ISMT test, and the total soil carbon and nitrogen. And we were grass harvesting then every 3 to 5 weeks between the growing season in Ireland for grass, which is between February and October. And we're also collecting daily MET data, which will be the precipitation or rainfall and the soil temperatures from these sites. And then, of course, we did our statistical analysis, we did our summary analysis, but kind of within in this concept, the main kind of bulk at the end of the results I was showing were from the quadratic mixed stepwise regression analysis using SAS. So moving on then to some of the results that we're finding from these sites. First off, well, what was the weather, what was the kind of climate conditions that these sites were experiencing? We have the well-drained range and we have the moderately drained. On the top here I have the graph, which is the soil temperature measured per week. And what you see, although the sites were at different locations, generally the average soil temperature over the 15-month period what we were sampling, which was the August 2011 up to the end of 2012, temperatures around 12 degrees Celsius, and the ranges weren't too different between these two sites as well. The bottom graphs then here are the precipitation, is the rainfall for these two sites. And once again, you know, they are located in separate parts, but the average kind of rainfall that these sites were kind of receiving in the 15-month study period was about a little over 13,000 millimetres. If we just break it down to 2012 here, it was about a little over 1,000 millimetres. The moderately drained site was actually receiving slightly higher levels of rainfall. But I'm going to draw your attention at this point because it'll have a significance in the indications of our results that I'll show later on. It's the summer rainfall figures that we got in both sites in 2012 because these were more atypical. We got, you know, high intensive rainfall within this period of just over nearly 500 millimetres in both of these sites. So we're going to look at some of the soil results. We're going to look at the nitrogen pools that were happening in our sites. The graph here is for total oxidized nitrogen, or nitrate as some of you might refer to. And just draw your attention, so we have four sites, and we have the two sites, and we have within them the two treatments. And in the closed symbols will be the check plot, the control, and in the kind of open symbols then is the line treated. And these kind of symbols are replicated throughout the rest of the results I'm going to show you. What we see in this, well, it's not unsurprising to us under our conditions, is for, we had a site by time, a time of sampling significance there. There's a large temporal variability. You know, the supply of TON was kind of up and down throughout the year. And this as well was seen in the ammonium concentrations in both these sites as well. Although, in general, ammonium altogether was slightly lower than the TON concentrations in these sites. Well, we still had a large temporal variability. Moving along then to the more labile mineralizable N pool that we measured using ISMT. What we see here is that there is a temporal variability in the mineralizable N pool across these sites and treatments. But however, compared to the soil mineral nitrogen, it's a bit more stable. And I should note that we were only using the soils that were collected every 9 weeks. To show for these results here. But kind of what do we kind of perceive from this then? Just kind of looking a bit more closely at the mineralizable lens that, you know, is a bit more stable. I've just highlighted the summer period here where we see that the sites basically were either vastly increasing or vastly decreasing in mineralizable nitrogen pool. And of course you might expect this during the summer period where there's like long microbial activity occurring and mineralization is kind of ramped up or there could be inflictions there in some of the sites where there might be water logging going on and nothing's occurring. So, but at the times of if you were trying to go sample for mineralizable nitrogen pool, we do see a lot more stable in terms of the spring and the autumn times of the year where there is no kind of dramatic changes or some significant changes in the mineralizable N components. So this will give us a kind of an idea of when would be the best time if you were wanting to go out and sample where you would get a good representation for the sites. Moving on then, we've gone from what's in below the ground up to the top of the ground, and this is our grass growth then for these sites and treatments over the years. Just to note, and probably what you've probably seen in some of the slides, is the 2011 kind of figures are offered kind of high compared to 2012. Well, we would expect this because actually in start of 2011, site was just getting established and there's a lot of maybe disturbance happening, so we needed a bit more time to stabilise them. So in 2012, better representation of the results that are occurring. What you see here, if we just kind of look at maybe the 2012, it's a typical kind of, the pattern of the grass growth is typical of what we see in Ireland. Peaks happening in terms of grass growth in the spring of the year, drops off, and then we have another kind of an increase then in grass growth in the more peak, a bit longer in the autumn of the year. So this is what we would see typically. In terms of grass growth yields then, and these yields are kind of, I haven't reported them, what we normally have them is in tonnes per hectare, but what we found in the moderately drained sites, yields were generally a bit more better compared to the well-drained site. So I'm just going to focus on the grass growing season then of 2012. Why I'm doing this? Well, this is when we get a little bit more adventurous and we're trying to basically see where our soil parameters, when we put them together with some of our, with the climatic variables that we measured, and we kind of combine those into to the different times when the grass harvests were taken, and we break these down, these grass harvests, to the daily grass dry matter yield. We want to then put them into some sort of prediction models, kind of see, can we predict using these soils and climatic variables, those daily grass dry matter yields. Well, the first kind of stellar results I'm going to be showing you is what we got when we modelled these in the moderately drained site. And what we see is precipitation, rainfall, soil temperature, ammonia concentrations, and precipitation by with interaction with ammonium had basically explained about 41% of the variability in our daily grass dry matter yield from this site, the moderately drained site. Looking at the well-drained site then, something similar. We have precipitation, soil temperature, ammonium concentrations, but this time around it was the interaction between the precipitation and the soil temperatures in the model that basically explained around 37% of the variability. So we decided we combined the sites then because a lot of the same kind of variables were kind of popping up, and we wanted to kind of see when we combined it then what was kind of falling, you know, in a line. What we found was precipitation, soil temperature, ammonia concentrations, the interactions with precipitation and the soil temperature, the interactions of precipitation with ammonium, and the interactions of soil temperature and ammonium, all explained just nearly about, but not 50, but about 48% of the variability in our grass dry matter daily yields. So what was kind of the main kind of, I suppose what we were finding out of these models was that, why ammonium concentrations? Well, actually the ammonium concentrations had a negative effect. So the higher the accumulation of the ammonium in soil, the reduction in your grass dry matter yield. And what we were kind of indicating from this was, is that the plants seem to be being inhibited and not being able to assimilate this ammonium because perhaps there was other factors such as soil temperature or high moisture content that was affecting its ability to assimilate this ammonium. So what we've kind of drawn from these models so far is that, you know, the weather is having a huge influence in terms of, you know, the soil's condition, and this is kind of hindering the factors then in terms of reducing the grass dry matter growth and the nitrogen assimilation. And really what we've gotten to this point is we really do need more time and more kind of, you know, this is an atypical year in terms of rainfall. We need more time to really kind of see are these climatic variables having a large influence. Just to conclude then, soil mineral and nitrogen vary greatly between sites throughout the experiment. It's not surprising to us, and it's not going to be a good indicator for soil nitrogen mineralization test across the growing season. ISNT then was a bit more stable, and best times if you kind of want to go and sample for mineralizable nitrogen would be spring and in the autumn time. We found the combinations of soil precipitation levels and temperature and ammonia concentrations gave us the best prediction of daily grass dry matter productions in the 2012 growing season. But as I said, these climatic influences and site conditions seem to greatly influence the soil nitrogen supply and development and override the soil nitrogen supply, the main drivers of grass production. Less than 50% of the variability in the daily grass dry matter production could be explained. So as it kind of stressed that we really do need additional studies across multiple sites and years and soil types and mineralization capacities to kind of give us more of an indication of really what is the drivers in terms of for grass growth under these conditions. And we are doing this. You know, watch this space. We have gone out to more sites and years, and we're collecting that data. And hopefully in more symposiums to come, I'll be able to report those results. Finally, I want to acknowledge, you know, everyone that's kind of helped out on this project, the farmers who provided sites along the way, funding from the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine, and Chagas, AFME, and Queen's University staff and students for their help. I'd be happy to take any questions. Thank you.
We have time for just one really quick question.
Sorry, can you speak up there?
Are the moisture or ammonia and nitrate correlated among themselves? Or
I think there is a kind of interaction effect, yes, that we're kind of seeing, I suppose. Soil temperature kind of driving, you know, whether the nitrogen mineralization is happening from the TON. And what seems to be happening is there's so many different interaction effects with the different sites and things like that. Trying to kind of, I suppose, the biggest kind of question was the ammonia concentrations, you know, and I suppose when we kind of get a better kind of, I think, as I said, when we kind of be able to go up to a more of a drier yield, we'll get a better indication really of what are the true dryers, because I really think the rainfall levels that year completely kind of overridden, especially anything that we could completely see in the soil effects. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.